Welcome to episode 8 of the Bereans Bible Prophecy Podcast. This is Bob McLaurin in Nashville, Tennessee. It's been a while since I put out the last podcast, but I wanted to cover a little bit of what I touched on in episode 7 about the Revelation 12 sign and observations on oil and natural gas. Immediately after episode 7 was released, Iran discovered 50 billion barrels of oil. And I only bring that up to reinforce the point that many in the last 25, 30 years, and they're still doing it. Anytime there's a skirmish anywhere near the Middle East, they've always said with authority that Armageddon will be fought over oil, or the next, World War III, something like that. And as always, I always say, maybe that's true. Maybe that's will happen. But if we look at the current environment, it just doesn't look like that would be the case, because the overabundance of oil and natural gas. Now, to put it into perspective, what 50 billion barrels of oil means, because billion, and this ought to apply financially, because we hear billions and trillions a lot in the financial market, and it really doesn't sink in how large that number is. But now again, Iran discovered this, as countries all over the globe are, but Iran found 50 billion barrels of oil, and the United States consumes 20 million barrels of oil a day. That's our current usage. And so 20 million, that seems like a lot of barrels of oil refined. This 50 billion barrel discovery at a burn rate, if this were the U.S.'s discovery, and we've had larger discoveries than this, if this was our discovery, that is 7 years worth of oil, that one discovery, 7 years. And so it seems like every week, every couple of days, there's been a discovery like this. There's so much oil and natural gas that the next war is probably going to be over something else. But we'll see. And only reason I brought that up, I think I mentioned it in 7, is you always want to question myself or anybody else when they speak with a tone of authority that this is going to happen and all that. You just have to fact check and see, is it reasonable, logical? Does it follow? Obviously, is it scriptural? This has, there's no scripture to back up speculation like this. So I would just say question all speculation, including my own, which I'm going to throw a lot out on the table. This episode going to be all over the place, just a whole collection of loose ends and potpourri. And I also asked when I was talking about the Revelation 12 sign, I mentioned I saw this lady on YouTube who really questioned the legitimacy of the sign for the reason that it was so difficult to verify this for yourself or even to know about it, unless you were on the internet, unless you were specifically tracking these types of things. And you couldn't see it without a telescope. So it wasn't like blood moons or a solar eclipse or anything like that. Although a total solar eclipse occurred roughly 30 to 40 days prior to the Revelation 12 sign. But she asked the legitimate question, why would it be something that really isn't visible to anybody except through equipment, special equipment? And most people don't have telescopes. So even the ones who might want to see it, would have to purchase something to see it for themselves, even if they knew what they were looking for. And my response to that is, and again, I'll back up one more time, because her concept is that God is reaching the world and everything that he's throwing out there is for the whole world. And that's what Christianity believes. They believe that the gospel is unto the ends of the earth at this point in time. And you have to back up and realize the pattern that God is currently working in. And that is, he is dealing with first fruits at this time. And God, since the beginning that we know that he's revealed to us, he has always first worked with an extremely small group of people, never the multitude. His initial effort is never to reach the masses. He takes a very small, insignificant, and unimpressive, and in the eyes of the multitude, illegitimate, disqualified, dysfunctional, the island of misfit toys. He always takes a handful, a remnant, and he begins his work through them. So I would tell anyone in her shoes, don't be discouraged. This has always been his way. And it's going to continue to be that way, because you are the first fruits. And that's the reason. That's the reason why this isn't trumpeted from the four corners of the earth. So moving on, more potpourri. I saw Joel Richardson had released another movie video on the real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. This is Ron Wyatt's prior work that you can find on YouTube, much grainier video and things like that. But the information is incredible. Looks completely legitimate. And it is very interesting. I find it very interesting that this is coming to light in such a broad way, the real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia and all the visual evidence, physical evidence in the desert that makes it indisputable. This has come to light roughly the same time that the actual Temple Mount in the old city of David, not what Christianity mainstream calls the Temple Mount, that humongous 43-acre complex, which makes Jesus look like a fool. So I invite you to go see that. I will say, I watch Joel Richardson. He is a very good presenter of information. I don't arrive at the same conclusions. He concludes that Mecca is Mystery Babylon for various reasons. I mean, he reads the same verses that point to or that describe Mystery Babylon, all pointing directly at Jerusalem or a latter days Jerusalem. It isn't what you physically see now, but by evidence, it is Jerusalem based on what Christ had said about him. But he concludes Mecca, and the video I remember about a year ago, the biggest reason that he gave was because Jerusalem isn't a port city. And so he uses that to justify Mecca as Mystery Babylon, as if it is a port city. Now, when you look at the map, it's certainly closer to the water. But when you get on Google and actually see what what the facts are. Again, I was just fact-checking to see if this is a reasonable claim, which based on scripture, it isn't. But physically, geophysically, is this a reasonable claim that Mecca is a port city? Well, it's 22 kilometers from the Gulf or wherever it's the ocean or the closest port, 22 kilometers. And then I looked at Jerusalem and it's like 35 to 40 kilometers. Well, in either case, you could disqualify both of those based on their physical location from water. So this just goes back to, you just consume the facts slash truth that you want to confirm your case. And in this case, there's no scripture pointing towards Mecca or Rome or New York. I mean, you really have to allegorize in order to get there. And maybe that's what it is, but if allegorizing scripture where it isn't explicitly allegory or symbolic, where we're not told by an angel through interpretation right after the verses that we've read, if any scripture is up for debate to be symbolic or allegorical, then no scripture has any meaning whatsoever, because then anybody can interpret in any possible way that they want to. And, you know, they go back to the seven hills of Rome and all this kind of stuff. Well, Jerusalem has seven hills physically as well. But the very next verses below that say, and the seven hills are kings. So the angel gives the interpretation for us. So we just, you know, fact check it all. Fact check. So again, moving on, next random prophecy item. And this isn't prophecy, but it's certainly, it sure feels like we're in the last days or getting close to the 70th week based on all the various activity that is just so unexpected. And that is the Kanye West Sunday service events that have been happening. And from what I've seen, it looks, Kanye West appears to be completely authentic, genuine. Now, I haven't seen every last thing and every last quote, but the times that I've seen him, he appears sincere, as sincere as anybody else sitting on a pew, and they're the ones criticizing him. Well, the leaders, you know, I've seen a lot of pastors come out, you know, well, we'll have to see about the fruit and all this. The most intolerant, and I'm not talking about sin, I'm just talking about their most exclusive within Christianity. No one's allowed in unless they pass their test for whatever is required for in their eyes to be a Christian, other than belief. There's some hidden criteria that they won't disclose. But again, just go look at a few clips. Every time I've seen Kanye West, and I don't know much or if anything about Kanye West, but anytime I've seen him interviewed, I've been thrilled to see what he's talking about or hear his testimony. It's fantastic. So I think it just comes down to the current mainstream authorities, the leading voices in Christianity are just jealous. They do all this work to build their own congregations and keep them going. Got to keep dancing to keep bringing in the crowd. And you see the panic in their eyes as the crowds are dwindling, because again, back to one of my original side rants, because they're not teaching any truth whatsoever. you know, once a month. Their monthly cycle is 2 weeks on tithing, one on service, and or maybe one or two on how to be a better fill in the blank. Dad, mom, brother, you know, whatever the case. That's what Christianity is today. It isn't teaching what Christ did on behalf of mankind, what it means to you in your daily life. It's just how to be a better whatever. And anyway, it's jealousy from what I see, because he's it looks like all he's doing is expressing his testimony, which people love to hear testimonies. You never hear those anymore. And people are flocking to see the change in his life. Anyway, another random item. I don't know if I've brought this up earlier in an earlier episode, but wanted to touch on the current technology within retail. And obviously this is alluding to technology that might be used, and it's obviously only going to get stronger, better, more powerful in the future, in the short future, because things are just multiplying in power and capability and features. But with the beast and how to the conditions that you will have to meet in order to be able to buy and sell, and then ultimately within the beast system of the Antichrist. But I just want you to think about your local Kroger or Walmart, and every single kiosk now has a camera. So as you're checking out, you look in that camera, and you see your face in that camera as you're scanning and all that. So, you know, what is that for? Who knows what they're doing with it? But they already know, because everyone, 99.9%, pay with a debit or a credit card. And even if you're using cash, the facial recognition is so good now that they can pair you with your purchase patterns. And that's what they're using it for in general, for retail. They don't even need your picture. They know based on your credit card number, your debit card number, how much Coke you drink, how much bacon you buy, how frequently you buy eggs and milk and all that. They can use this to forecast how much they need to stock a store with based on that population's usage or purchase patterns within that area. So it's an extremely powerful forecasting capability that they have. But what I wanted to bring up was, because the facial recognition technology has gotten so good, and it's been good for a while, because casinos use it to keep criminal elements or slash cheaters. It might not be criminal, but it they can choose who they do not want to do business with. So if you are a card counter and you go to Vegas and you win big using some type of manipulation or math skills that you possess or that you've gained through practice, they can ban you. You know, they may not do anything to you the first time, but they will ban you from ever doing business with them. And as soon as you walk in the door, they've got a group of guys that welcome you back out. And if you keep coming in, you know, consequences are more drastic for you. But if we take that same technology to the retail space, and you think about crime, you know, they always talk about how prices are inflated due to shoplifting and other types of theft. And I just want you to think about how someone might be punished in the future, because traditionally, you know, somebody gets chased down in the parking lot, they're arrested, you know, they go before a judge and all that kind of stuff. I just want you to imagine the power of a much more effective and much more painful punishment, that if you were to go into your local Walmart or Kroger and shoplift and you're caught, some thief gets caught and you get put on a not doing business with list, so that the next time you walk in the door, you're escorted out. Or you don't even have to be escorted out. You can fill your buggy up with all your food and you roll up to check out, and your money's no good. Your credit card is not going to work. Therefore, you're not leaving with any food or any other thing for sale in that building. Now, just think about this. If a whole chain like Publix or Kroger or Walmart said, John Doe, you are on our exclusion list based on your past theft, your behavior, and we are no longer going to do business with you, not only with that store, but our whole chain in the country. Now, how painful is that to never be able to? Now, you may not shop at some of these stores, but whatever stores you shop at, what if those grocery stores said, nope, not doing business with you? And then what if they started sharing those lists in Kroger and Publix in an attempt to reduce the crime rate? Retailers created an association that excluded people who were shoplifters. And now you can't buy clothes. You can't go to, you can't buy food. You know, it could easily, everything's there for that to happen today. And let me tell you, I guarantee you that anyone who's ever shoplifted and been caught, or maybe not even caught, but they were noticed and they know who that person is, the next time, as soon as they walk in the door, security's already got the camera on them because of facial recognition. And it goes beyond facial recognition. It's tracking your body, your gait, how you walk, if you limp, just your whole body structure. It's very difficult to change your natural gait and your total build. And the tracking capability is there already. So the net is ready to be drawn in whenever someone with evil intent can pull that together. So moving on, I saw this morning where there was this was actually an article in 2018. It was referenced today on QAnon, but PGP, the pretty good protection, I believe is what it is. Traditional, from what I know it as, is used in email encryption. And I guess I've heard about it for the last 30 years and assume that it was always the strongest or most, the best combination of ease of use and secure. There's probably some greater security encryptions that you could use, but they're probably not as easy to use. So anyway, PGP was the standard, at least from my perception. And today I saw posted that there was a backdoor or a flaw slash vulnerability slash exploit that has been there, and which I would assume that means that they could go backwards in time and crack any email if you had that capability and the desire to do so. So that's where we are. There really is no security, at least at the layman's level. I would not assume any security or privacy by any means, any stretch. On to the next random thing. Let's see. You know, this goes back to the Jerusalem and Mecca, neither really being a port city, but I do want to make you aware, this was on Zion's Hope. They've had a magazine out forever, Marv Rosenthal. He's a pre-Rath proponent, and that's where I know them from. But they have a YouTube channel, and maybe within the last year, they did a presentation on a high-speed rail that is going to, and it's an agreement between Jordan and Egypt and Israel. And essentially, they're going to link Haifa through Jordan and onward to Egypt. It passes through the Jezreel Valley. And they go into great detail about what, you know, there's airports and loading docks and all this. And what they're trying to do is establish a path for moving huge amounts of, transporting huge amounts of cargo without it passing through choke points that are close to Iran that are always under threat of attack, at least in our, you know, the last 20 years. So this is to circumvent the Straits of Hormuz and other issues of shipping channels that Iran has access to. So yeah, I won't even say if this happens. I mean, they're already doing it. They've already got the agreement. There's several incredible things that Israel's made signed a $7 billion pipeline agreement with Cyprus, I believe. And it's either oil or natural gas. I can't remember, but it's a fuel. And $7 billion, and that will get some of their overflow, 99% of their overflow. They use less than 1% of their own reserves and so many untapped reserves. It's incredible. But they are establishing the rail lines that will, I think eventually it will make Jerusalem essentially a port. And that could be the case for any city. So, I mean, if you've got high-speed rail or a means to transport lots of goods easily, offload them and easily transport them, then, you know, it doesn't matter how far you're inland, you've become a port. So that's why I don't discount any scripture where it's clear in the scripture as we know it today that, you know, where it says the those in the ports will cry when they see the smoke billowing out of Mystery Babylon, blah, blah, blah. And somebody, even though there'll be five or six other scriptures that without a doubt confirm that it's Jerusalem that is Mystery Babylon, they'll take that one point and go, well, you see, because Jerusalem's not on the beach, you know, these can't be. Well, maybe it isn't yet. So, I mean, we see so much change within a single year's time that people jump so quickly. And I guess I'll close with this. You know, anytime there's, like right now, everybody's, many people, not all, but many people are going, Erdogan's the Antichrist. And you just can't go there yet. You know, or they'll say, the Pope is it. He's the guy. And you can't do that, because if you look around the world, the instability of the current world leaders, you know, it used to be somebody would be the leader of a nation for 10, 15 years. Man, now they could change hands overnight, all over the globe. And even when you're in a 4-year term or an 8-year, you know, one of our presidents is probably going to be reelected. You don't know what tomorrow brings. You just read the headlines. You see many, many national leaders around the world that are either under indictment from somebody like Netanyahu, or Merkel is on the verge of losing her seat. Other governments ready to turn. So things just move so fast that it's, you know, it's fine to speculate, but again, the people that I see, they don't even call it speculation. They've got their whole charts and map. I'm not against charts. I love charts. I'm into them, but they've got, you know, the invasion happening from here and there, and, you know, and Erdogan's building a caliphate and all that stuff. Maybe he is, but I just don't see any scripture that indicates that we, even Christians, and I'll make that circle even smaller, even watchful Christians would be able to know who the Antichrist is so soon, so early in the cycle, until we see someone in action taking out Israel's enemies and this 10-king federation, which it looks like it goes to 13, and then 3 are taken out by the little horn, you know, if we understand all that correctly. So I just encourage you to be watchful. Doubt's not the right word, but fact check for logic, scripture, reason. Does it really line up? Does it seem, and again, maybe the stars haven't aligned yet, but first off, is it scriptural? Can scripture support it without just blatantly making it allegorical in order to, for that dude to support his theory? And then, you know what to do with the rest of it. I'll stop for now. Next episode, I may go into pure speculation. There's something I've been chewing on for several years about Purim and the midpoint / the abomination of desolation. And let me tell you, 100% speculation on my part. But I'll show you some of the things I've been digging into. And again, I hold them very loosely. If things change, I am absolutely ready to sweep those off the table and move on to the next scenario that looks probable. So next episode will be about Purim, the abomination of desolation, and some speculative stuff I've been chewing on and playing with. And I'll probably get it out much quicker than a week from this one. So thank you for being here. Talk to you later.